Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt. Born in the D, made in America, pure Michigan baby, broadcasting once again from the mothership, Black Diamond Broadcasting. How's everybody out there doing today? Hope you're having a great morning or afternoon or evening, depending upon what your schedule is. That's why at the beginning of the show, I say good morning, good evening, and good night, because some of you are working a shift and it's ending and you're about to go home and go to sleep. Thus, it could be your nighttime. Others could be in the middle of a shift working. Thus, it could be your lunchtime. Or like many of you and most of you, you're just waking up. So obviously, I'm going to say good morning. So that's why I say good morning, good evening, and good night. And truthfully, that's from some movie, one of the Jim Carrey movies out there. But once in a while, someone will come up to me and say, hey, did you get that from that movie? And I probably heard it at some point, and that's where I got it from. But it makes perfect sense that I would say that. So how is everybody anyway? Hope you're having a great day, and hope you're doing something that you enjoy doing. For me, I'm happy to be in studio on a hot mic, ready to just spew out tons of information. Folks, I have with me today in studio, and I'm going solo, some serious information. We're going to be talking about Miranda. What is Miranda? You always hear, well, I wasn't read my Miranda rights. What are my Miranda rights? Who was Miranda? What are the words in Miranda rights? How does the Miranda rights protect you? When must Miranda rights or warnings be given to suspects? What happens if you are not read your Miranda rights? So we're going to be talking about Miranda, because I get those questions all the time. Todd, I wasn't read my Miranda rights. Was I supposed to read my Miranda rights? Can this case be thrown out because I was not read my Miranda rights? We're going to be talking about Miranda. And actually, the case itself was Miranda v. Arizona. And we have an update on the Cannabis Cup, currently taking place as we speak in Las Vegas. And so we got some information about the Cannabis Cup. I also have some information regarding what takes place on tribal lands in relation to the Cannabis Cup and the Department of Justice. So we're going to connect all the dots there. The Cannabis Cup, the Department of Justice, and Native American land, which is a sovereign nation across this country of ours. All right, so we're going to be talking about that somewhat. But first, before we do so, folks, listen. I complain. Every week I have a complaint, whether it's at a restaurant, a grocery store, or something that just happens to me during the week. And on the way to the studio today, I almost called 911 to report a vehicle that literally cut me off. I mean, literally cut me off. I'm driving down 127. For those of you that have no idea what 127 is, it's a highway that goes smack dab down the middle of the mitten and heads north all the way to I-75 where Grayling, where I-75 and 127 meet. I'm on 127 today, and I'm in the right lane because, folks, the law says that if you're in a motor vehicle and you are not in rush hour or on a highway accessible to the public where there's people driving, you have to stay in the right lane. You must stay in the right lane. The left lane is for passing only. In fact, an officer can stop you and you'll receive a civil infraction if you're just driving in the left lane for no other reason other than to be in the left lane and slow traffic down. And nothing pisses me off more when you are trying to pass somebody and they're in the left lane going, you know, slow like a turtle. I mean, I hate those turtle drivers. Whoever you are, stop being a turtle. Get in the right lane where you belong. I mean, it just annoys the piss out of me. But today, I literally, folks, get cut off by a literally it was an Oldsmobile. It was a four-door Oldsmobile, and I don't know what year it was. I'm not even going to tell you the color because I don't want to identify who this person may or may not be. They may still be driving on the road out there, and I'm in a big truck. So this car literally just, I'm in a right lane. This car's in the left lane, and I'm just driving along, and this car literally, without even putting on its blinker, merges over towards my lane, and I had almost come to a complete stop in the right lane, or this car would have veered right into my driver's side door. Now, I'm laying on the horn. I'm honking my horn. I mean, I'm not just honking it. I'm making music. I mean, if I recorded this, it would be on iTunes later today. I mean, I was honking that horn, and I mean, I was beating on it, and I was just like screaming, saying things I can't even say on the radio because the FCC will contact me. But as it turns out, folks, this lady, I don't know if it was a lady or a man. I think it was a lady. I couldn't really tell because the person was all bundled up. But this person literally had a zoo on their back window. So in the back of their vehicle, literally, I'm not making this up, I'm not even trying to be funny, had all these stuffed animals. Yes, that was this person. They had, and I got close enough when they almost cut me off to see what was in the back window. This person had a cute little kitty cat, a stuffed animal kitty. It was a kitten. It looked old, ugly. It was worn out. It had other little stuffed animals. I couldn't really make out what they were. But the one stuffed animal that I believe absolutely impeded this person's ability to look out their back window and obstruct their vision was a giraffe. And granted, okay, do I like giraffes? I think it was a cute giraffe stuffed animal. It was, you know, but again, it should not have been in the back of this person's window. I mean, why is this person driving around with all these stuffed animals in the back of his or her window to begin with? So I got caught off today, and I should have called 911 because this person was absolutely reckless. Could have, you know, damaged my vehicle, causing serious bodily harm, all because of a zoo on the back window. And it was a giraffe that I truly believe caused the obstruction. I mean, it was a tall, okay, granted, it was, like I said, it was a cute giraffe, but in all seriousness, I'm not happy. And I laid on the horn and I followed this person. I didn't tailgate, but I laid back a bit to see if they were going to swerve all over the place, because I would have called if they continued to exhibit, you know, erratic driving or signs of intoxication, because albeit I'm a defense attorney, I don't want this person on the roadway injuring or killing somebody, you know, somebody's loved one. So the person got off at the next exit ramp and I went about my way, but cut off by a zoo today. And not very happy about that. Not happy at all. Just got done binge watching, folks. I'm a binge watcher. Just binge watched Gilligan's Island. That's right, folks. I'm not kidding you. I just binge watched Gilligan's Island. That's right. Going back to my childhood, I wanted to know, really truthfully, if Gilligan ever hooked up with Ginger or Marianne. And I know every one of you out there had your favorite. Was it Ginger or did you like Marianne? Personally, I was all about Ginger. I'm just saying, I was all about Ginger. Brady Bunch, I mean, I have dark hair. I always like blondes. So I always like the eldest Brady Bunch girl. I can't, Marsha, is that her name? I don't know. I can't remember. But binge watching Gilligan's Island, and what a great day it is here today. But folks, we have a huge show right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We're going to talk about your Miranda rights. You have a right to remain silent, folks. I cannot stress this enough. You have an absolute right to remain silent, and you must use it. You must use it. Have we not grown up in the age of movies and videos and television and now Netflix and all these other ability to observe movies and TV shows? How many times have you heard that you have the right to remain silent? I cannot say it enough. But the fact of the matter is, most people never remain silent. In 23 plus years of practicing law, I'm coming on 23, I can't recall maybe one or two times where I had a client who exercised their rights, their constitutional rights under the Fifth Amendment, not to incriminate themselves, and remained silent. So we're going to talk about Miranda rights because it's something very important. We have a Cannabis Cup update. And by the way, the Cannabis Cup is taking place on a sovereign nation, Native American land out there in Vegas. And that's where the issue came up in regards to the feds and the tribal land. So the question is, can Native American tribes, can they, you know, cultivate, sell, and possess cannabis on their tribal sovereign nation. So we're going to talk about that during the show and a lot of other information right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you miss any portion of the show, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud. I'm going to give a big shout out to a good friend of the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, Jesse Cox. Jesse is the CEO, folks, of Cannabi Staff. CannabiBiStaff.com. Check it out, Cannabi Staff. They just opened their first Canadian office, and you can catch them on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. Check out Cannabi Staff. Great company providing the public and private sector with robust, specialized staffing solutions for what's sweeping the nation in the cannabis industry. As I have mentioned week in and week out on this show and podcast, you know, as the states legalize cannabis and it becomes recreational, there is a need for specialized staffing on every level. And there's amazing companies out there. And my favorite is definitely Jesse's company at Cannabi Staff. So thank you, Jesse Cox, for listening to the show. Congratulations for opening up your first Canadian office. And that's outstanding. Jesse Cox, what an advocate. What a woman out there fighting for all of our rights. So a big shout out to her. We have to take a break, but we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. And be sure to tip the wait staff on the way out. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from Black Diamond Broadcasting's mothership right here in the middle of the Mitten, broadcasting across this beautiful planet Earth. Happy to be sharing the planet with all my fellow Earthlings. And a lot of information to get to here, folks. A lot of information. We got some Cannabis Cup information to get to here a little bit in the show. But first, let's talk about Miranda. We always see it on TV and movies. Growing up, you know, hey, you have the right to remain silent. I wasn't read my Miranda rights. I get this question all the time. Todd, I was arrested. They never read me my rights. So let's start from the beginning. What is your Miranda rights? What are they? And we hear about this. You've heard it yourself. The Miranda, it's actually a warning, which can be referred to as a right, but it's more of a warning. And folks, it's a right to remain silent. You have the right to remain silent. And the warning is given by police all across this country to criminal suspects who are in police custody or in a custodial interrogation setting. I'll say it again. It's not a right. It's a right, yes, but it's a warning that's put forth from the police and it's in the United States to criminal suspects who are in custodial interrogation situations or in police custody. I would say, also, my opinion as a defense attorney, when you're not free to leave and before they are interrogated, this warning is given to preserve the admissibility of their statements against them in a criminal proceeding. So you have the right not to incriminate yourself. So again, you have the right to remain silent. Now, we've all heard, you know, Miranda, Miranda, Miranda. Well, where did the word Miranda come from? This was actually an individual, Ernesto Miranda. And this was a laborer who was convicted on kidnapping, rape, and armed robbery. And the charges were based on his confession under police interrogation. And it was eventually set aside in the landmark case, the United States Supreme Court case, Miranda v. Arizona. And we've all heard about this, Miranda rights. So the Supreme Court in Miranda, how did Miranda even come about in the first place? Well, Miranda was arrested at his home, taken into custody to a police station where he was identified by the complaining witness. He was then interrogated by two police officers for a period of 2 hours. During that interrogation, it resulted in a signed written confession. So Ernesto Miranda was arrested, taken into custody, was identified by the complaining witness while being interrogated. It resulted in a signed written confession. Now, at trial, both the oral and written confessions were presented to the jury. You got that, folks? At trial, both the oral and written confessions were presented to the jury. Now, again, this is Mr. Miranda's case. There were no Miranda rights at this time, apparently, not to this extent or at all. So what happened was he was convicted. He was convicted and found guilty of kidnapping and rape and was sentenced to 20 to 30 years imprisonment on each count. Well, that's what good. That's what happens. But let's talk about the constitutionality. On appeal, the Supreme Court of Arizona held that Miranda's constitutional rights were not violated in obtaining the confession. You got that? So the attorneys for Miranda took this case all the way to the Supreme Court of Arizona, arguing that the confessions should have been thrown out because our client had a right not to incriminate himself, did not know what his rights were, and therefore they were violated in obtaining the confession. So the issue is whether statements obtained from an individual who is subjected to custodial police interrogation are admissible against him in a criminal trial, and whether procedures which assure that the individual is accorded his privilege under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution not to be compelled to incriminate himself, period. Okay, so what did the Supreme Court hold? The Supreme Court of the United States, in this famous case, held that there can be no doubt that the Fifth Amendment privilege is available outside of criminal court proceedings and serves to protect individuals in all settings in which their freedom of action is curtailed in any significant way from being compelled to incriminate themselves. So basically, the prosecution, the court ruled, may not use statements, whether exculpatory or inculpatory, stemming from custodial interrogation of the defendant unless it first demonstrates the use of procedural safeguards effective to secure the privilege against self-incrimination. And by custodial interrogation, I mean questioning initiated by law enforcement after a person has been taken into custody or otherwise deprived of his or her freedom of action in any significant way. So what happened in Miranda? Well, after Miranda's conviction was overturned by the United States Supreme Court, the state of Arizona retried him. And at the second trial, Miranda's confession was not introduced into evidence, but Miranda was once again convicted and sentenced to 20 to 30 years in prison. So that's when you hear Miranda rights. That was a case. That was Ernesto Miranda, who was actually passed away in the mid-70s. This was a laborer who was convicted on kidnapping and rape and armed robbery. And those convictions were and those charges were based on a confession under police interrogation and eventually set aside by the United States Supreme Court. And thus arose your Miranda rights. So again, it's not a right. It's more of a warning, folks. The Miranda warning is, you have the right to remain silent, basically what it is. So what triggers the Miranda warnings? What are the two Miranda triggers? That's what you need to know. Well, to trigger the right to Miranda, again, the suspect, you must be in custody, which I feel is reasonably unable to leave. So how do you define reasonably unable to leave? Does that include a speeding ticket when you're pulled off to the side of the highway? You know what? I say yes. If an officer stops you on a roadway or approaches you and is questioning you, albeit it's only an investigation, you are not under arrest or technically in custody at that point, but you are not free to leave. And one of the triggers of Miranda based on the United States Supreme Court is that you reasonably feel unable to leave. And you feel that you're subjected to interrogation. So I feel that all those are open to interpretation. And if you're subjected to interrogation, was the conduct intended or likely to induce an incriminating response? So if you're being interrogated and whatever your response is it going to incriminate you? So those are some triggers. Reasonably unable to leave and subjected to interrogation. So I would argue again, and I'm being redundant, that if you are stopped or an officer approaches you, albeit he or she is just doing an investigation, you are not free to leave. If you take off and run, I will have to represent you for, fleeing and eluding an officer, which is a 4-year felony. I believe, and I'll have to look this up, that at least in the state of Michigan and other states across the country, Miranda used to be automatic. So if an officer approaches you, they had to read you the warning. What is the warning before we go to break? You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak to an attorney and to have an attorney present during questioning. Again, you have the right to remain silent, folks. Use it. Anything you can say will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak to an attorney. Well, what does that mean, you have the right to speak to an attorney? And what are the words in Miranda telling you? What are they telling you? What are they saying? Well, what are they saying is that anything you say can and will, again, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. So now at that point, you don't have to say a thing. In fact, my recommendation is, look, I'm pro law enforcement. I say it all the time on the show. I have so many friends, both men and women, who I grew up with, went to college with, who I see on a professional basis. You know, they put their lives on the line every day. I am very pro military and I am very pro law enforcement, albeit I'm a defense attorney. If you're in trouble, who are you going to call? You're going to call 911 and you expect one of those officers to show up and assist you. So, big kudos to all. That doesn't mean that I don't go up against law enforcement in court vigorously. Of course I do. It's my job. Business is business. You have to know when to draw the line between friendship and business. But yeah, oh, absolutely. We go at it. But you do catch more bees with honey. But when we come back from break, I do want to answer some more of these questions in regards to Miranda. And yes, folks, I do have some updates on the Cannabis Cup in Las Vegas that's taking place as we speak. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors right here on Todd's Rock Block on the radio and podcast. Be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in, you missed two awesome segments, and hope you're having a great day out there, great morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it is you are doing. What did you miss? You'll have to catch it on iTunes. It's free. You can subscribe, Podbean or SoundCloud. Those are all platforms where you can catch the show or go onto my website, centralmichiganlawyer.com. We do have some links to previous shows on there also. And if you have any questions for anyone who's appeared on the show or myself, centralmichiganlawyer@gmail.com, centralmichiganlawyer@gmail.com. There in the first segment, I had a very serious complaint about a vehicle, an Oldsmobile that cut me off today on the way to the studio. It had a zoo on its back window as the car sort of weaved into my lane. I had to slow down and let them get into the right lane from the left lane on a highway. I noticed in the back window all kinds of cute stuffed animals. There was a giraffe, I think. The giraffe is the one that mainly obstructed this individual's view. Also, I talked about the fact that I just binge-watched Gilligan's Island. I had to relive my childhood in regards to Ginger there. Oh, man, Ginger. Whew. I think I mentioned also that I had a crush on Marsha. Who didn't from the Brady Bunch? Come on, I'm just saying. I didn't have a crush on the maid. I had a crush on Marsha. Come on, you guys, come on. You feel me on that one? I think you do out there, right? But anyhow, we've been talking about Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. What is Miranda? It's a warning given by law enforcement. Is it your right? Yeah, I mean, you have a right if you're going to be. Look, Miranda is not automatic. So, you know, we're going to get to that in a moment. But as I said earlier, I want to talk about the Cannabis Cup. But Miranda is not automatic. You can be pulled over. You can be questioned, placed under arrest, and never have the Miranda warning read to you. And we're going to talk about why that is. But the Cannabis Cup, the Las Vegas Cannabis Cup, which is currently taking place in Las Vegas for quite some time, was facing, unfortunately, a possible shutdown, folks, by the federal authorities. And this is according to the Cup's organizers, High Times, and you can look that up online. But they decided, rightfully so, that the event will proceed, and it is proceeding. So that was a news release put out by High Times. So what was the issue, though? That's the question. What was the issue? But, you know, High Times put out a release that said, you know, all vendors, attendees, and everybody are advised to comply with all local, state, and federal laws regarding the use and distribution of cannabis. But you hear that lisp? Regarding the use and distribution of cannabis and cannabis-related products. And in order for the cannabis industry to continue and earn legitimacy and social acceptance, The news release continued, "We understand the rules and laws and need to abide by them." Look, folks, Nevada was one of those states that voted to legalize the adult use of cannabis last November. But this particular conflict grew out of the location of the cup, because it's located on tribal land about an hour, I believe, I looked it up, drive from the Las Vegas Strip. The organizers were apparently under the impression that a Department of Justice guideline would protect the event from federal interference. And federal prosecutors now call that an incorrect interpretation of the department's position. So again, what is the Department of Justice, you know, position on cannabis on tribal lands? You know, that's the question. What is their position? And it's a good one, because if you think about it, tribal lands are sovereign. I mean, we have the great Native American Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe of Michigan right here in Isabella County. They have a great Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, great facilities. Big shout out to everybody out there on Tribal Council, my good friend Stephanie Peters, and everybody out there here in Isabella County. But this is not the first conflict over cannabis on tribal lands. In October of 2014, the Department of Justice, a director by the name of Monty Wilkinson, issued a guidance letter regarding federal marijuana enforcement on Native American land in country. The letter, now known as the Wilkinson Memo, did not make cannabis legal on tribal lands. Rather, it extended the enforcement guidance established by an earlier Cole memo, while recognizing that the effective federal law enforcement in Native country, including marijuana enforcement, requires consultation with our tribal partners. Again, consultation with our tribal partners. And that letter, now known, folks, as the Wilkinson Memo, did not make cannabis legal again on tribal lands. Rather, it extended the enforcement guidance established by the Department of Justice in an earlier memo, recognizing that the Department of Justice needs to work with local tribal partners in regards to what's taking place on those lands. So what exactly is the memo and what are we talking about? So I pulled the actual memo here from the Department of Justice, and it comes from the Office of the Director, from Monty Wilkinson. The subject is policy statement regarding marijuana issues in Indian country. And this was dated October 28th of 2014. It was sent out to all United States attorneys, all first assistant United States attorneys, all criminal chiefs, all appellate chiefs, all tribal liaisons. And basically, as I mentioned earlier, the Cole Memorandum provided guidance to the United States attorneys on the proper prioritization of marijuana enforcement in their respective districts. Given the number of states now that have moved to legalization of marijuana for both medicinal, agricultural, and or recreational use, and specifically, folks, the Cole Memorandum, and I talked about this in the past, listed 8 federal law enforcement priorities where the department will focus its investigative and prosecutorial resources. Now, this is a big issue because I have been receiving phone calls every week. I have cannabis updates on the show. And yes, I do talk about other things, but this is so prevalent in our society, and the momentum, and the people have spoken, and the tidal wave cannot be stopped. But there has been some serious reaction to the new Attorney General of the United States, Sessions, and his position on potentially going after states where it's recreational. Now, should you be concerned? Yes. Am I concerned? No. Why is that? Because I feel that the governors and the people will not allow the federal government to come in when the people have spoken. Look, we know that President Trump, and folks, give him a chance out there. Give him a chance. President Trump reversed the LGBT guidelines and sent it back to the states. So if the federal government wants the states, which the federal government should allow state sovereignty to control, is going to rule on these bathroom issues, then I feel that the federal government should also stay out of the state's interest in relation to cannabis. So I don't feel that the feds are going to come into the state of Michigan, Nevada, Colorado, or any other state, as long as, you know, the governors and the congressmen and women stand up for the people's rights. There's no way economically, the way things have gone and are going and will go, that the governors and anyone else is going to allow this to happen. It would be political suicide to not stand up to the administration at any level if they try to come in and impede on not only the state rights, but the local township, city, counties, and individual rights as citizens who have a right to decide, you know, our own personal freedoms and what we do with our bodies to a certain extent. Now, so let's go back to this memorandum. And the Cole memorandum, which was provided, all these guidelines to Department of Justice attorneys, there were 8 priorities for Native American sovereign nations. One, the feds would stay off the Native American land and out of their way as long as that there was a prevention of the distribution of marijuana to minors. They wanted to make sure that they prevented revenue from the sale of marijuana on tribal lands going to criminal enterprises, et cetera, et cetera. They want to make sure that there is prevention in the diversion of marijuana from states where it is legal, such as Colorado under the law, in some form to other states. So they don't want to see that, you know, if there are Native American tribes out there who possess cannabis or growing cannabis, and I'm not saying it's even legal to do so. There's debate on whether or not that is allowed or not allowed, but there is some movement from the DOJ where there are some tribes that are now, doing certain things in the area. One of the other things, they wanted to make sure the DOJ preventing state-authorized marijuana activity from being used as a cover or pretext for the trafficking of other illegal drugs or activities, preventing violence and the use of firearms in the cultivation and distribution of cannabis. And there's some other priorities that the DOJ put forth to the attorney generals in relation to sovereign native countries. But nothing in the Cole Memorandum altered the authority or jurisdiction of the United States to enforce federal law in native country. So basically, each United States attorney must assess all of the threats present in his or her district, including those in native country, and focus enforcement based on the district's specified assessment. You can also apply, you know, these 8 priorities to the states, to our sovereign states as well. So as long as I feel as an attorney that, you know, the states and the regulatory bodies in the states where everything is legal have the proper enforcement in place and things aren't getting completely out of whack, I don't see the feds coming in ever. I mean, it's and eventually cannabis and hemp will be taken out of Schedule 1, you know, where it has no business being in the first place. But there are some tribes that are working in the area of cannabis, and they're working with the district attorney general to make sure that they are complying and not going outside of those 8 priorities that originally were filed in the Cole memorandum. And this came forth from the memorandum from the Wilkinson memorandum. I would recommend everybody out there go online and Google the Wilkinson memorandum, dated October 20, 2014, and also the Cole memorandum, because it does give you some insight on how the DOJ is thinking out there, because there's been a lot of concern about the DOJ coming into the states when the states have spoken, the people have spoken. Hey, we got to go to break right now. But when we come back from break, I got a lot more information to get to here, a lot more Miranda information, and I have a lot of other information here I haven't even mentioned or touched upon. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time, what took you so long? Nick Morissette used to say that. That was her line. Hey, Nikki, why are people just tuning in for the first time? I don't know, Todd. What took them so long? Nick Morissette will be back in studio. I promise you that, folks. And Nikki is my former co-host and producer right here. And Actually, she's still producing the show because she's just behind the scenes. She's not in the studio today, but she's out there somewhere. And I know all the people out there mishearing her on the radio and podcast. By the way, last week I mentioned that I'm going to be joining Rock 105, 105.FM, another one of Black Diamond Broadcasting's awesome stations. I mentioned that I would be on the radio today on that station. It's actually going to take place the first Sunday in April. That's right, folks. So the first Sunday in April, if you're in the land of the mitten, we'll be on Rock 105 the same time. We're on 98.5 WUPS, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. But man, Norman, Mike, I just want to just rock out. I just want 1 hour just to turn it and burn it and churn it and play some music that just, you know, just goes nuts. I mean, that's how I wake up in the morning. I wake up to, I don't know, sometimes Limp Bizkit, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Disturbed, Avenged Sevenfold. I don't know. It depends on Metallica. You got to do mandatory Metallica. I have mandatory Metallica just about every day of my life. So I'm actually listening to the Load album right now. I love all Metallica, old, new, man, it doesn't matter. As long as it's Metallica, I love it, I love it, I love it. But anyhow, hey, we've had a huge show. We've been talking about Miranda rights. What is Miranda? When does it apply? We've also, in the last segment, we were talking about the conflict between the Department of Justice and tribal lands and cannabis. And I do want to mention that there are approximately 94 U.S. attorneys who exercise a wide range of discretion when it comes to cannabis enforcement, both on and off tribal land, folks. So I mentioned all these factors earlier in the last segment that came about from the Cole memo, and there were eight of them. I don't know if I went over all eight of them, actually. Let me see how many. Let me look at the paperwork again here. You can look this up online, the Cole Memorandum, which provides guidance to the United States attorneys on the proper prioritization of marijuana enforcement in their districts. So this goes across the whole country, not just native land. So you may want to look that up, folks. Look that up. In fact, I'll put that on my website next week, centralmichiganlawyer.com. But in relation to native land, and you know, we're talking about this because the Cannabis Cup put on by High Times is currently in Vegas and is taking place on native land. So, but the 94 U.S. attorneys do have wide discretion. And in Washington State, there are two tribes currently that both have opened adult use cannabis stores on tribal land. But before doing so, it's my understanding that they entered into compacts with the state of Washington, and those compacts and agreements allow the tribes to retain sovereignty over their lands and laws while aligning their cannabis regulations and taxing rates with those of the state. And the local, and this is, now I don't know if this is current, I mean, this is a current article, but the local U.S. attorney for Western Washington has not taken any action against those stores yet on those two tribal lands. So in this case, in Washington State, in this district, this U.S. attorney is allowing these tribes to run adult-use cannabis stores, and nothing has taken place. By the way, you can read more about this stuff on Leafly.com, L-E-A-F-L-E-Y, Leafly.com. I'm a proud subscriber. It's a great, great online resource for all kinds of news and information, and you should always cite your sources. I agree. You should always cite your sources, and that came courtesy of Leafly. The Cole Memorandum came courtesy of Google, and that together with the Wilkinson Memorandum, and you can print that right off of the U.S. Department of Justice. I recommend everybody do so, and I hope everybody out there, the Cannabis Cup, is having a great time this year, and maybe next year the Todd Levitt Show will broadcast from the Cannabis Cup. You never, never know. But look, let's talk about Miranda again. We were talking about Miranda early in the show, and Miranda is a warning, and it came about because Ernesto Miranda was arrested and convicted in Arizona of kidnapping, rape, and armed robbery. But during an interrogation, after he said certain things and signed certain documents, his lawyer later on, after the conviction, after he was found guilty, filed an appeal. It went up to the Arizona Supreme Court. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled back then in those days, and this goes way back to the 60s, that no, that his confession stands, that his Fifth Amendment rights not to incriminate himself were not violated. Well, it went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, and the United States Supreme Court now, in the famous case of Miranda v. Arizona, ruled that the Arizona Supreme Court was wrong and that there can be no doubt that the Fifth Amendment privilege is available outside of criminal court proceedings, such as in a police station, on the side of the road, when you're being interrogated and not free to leave. And it serves to protect individuals in all settings in which their freedom of action is curtailed in any significant way from being compelled to incriminate themselves. So as such, the prosecution may not use these statements against them. So we've all heard about Miranda. Now, I get the question all the time. Todd, I mean, obviously I'm a drunk driving cannabis lawyer. I do a lot of misdemeanors and felonies. What is the right to remain silent? Well, the right covers a number of issues centered on the right of the accused or the defendant to refuse to comment or provide an answer when questioned, either prior or during a legal proceeding in a court of law. This can also be a right to avoid self-incrimination or the right to remain silent when questioned. What is the right to legal counsel? I have a right to an attorney because that's what the warning says. It's given by police in the United States. What is the warning? What does it say? You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak to an attorney and to have an attorney present during any questioning. So if you're pulled over on the side of the road and you're being investigated for possible illegal activity, do you have a right to invoke your constitutional rights and have an attorney present? Well, that's what Miranda says. So the question becomes, let's say you're on the side of the road and the officer is, and at this point, folks, an officer pulls you over, is starting to ask you questions. You're not in custody, nor are you in a setting where an interrogation is taking place. Well, wait a minute, Todd. I'm in my vehicle. My hands are on the wheel. I can't leave. What do you mean I'm not in custody? What do you mean I'm not being interrogated? Well, I can talk about the state of Michigan. In the state of Michigan, at that point, it's only called an investigation. So does that mean you have to chirp like a bird? Chirp, 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 chirp. No, I would. But here's my philosophy when it comes to certain type of cases. One, always keep your hands on the wheel where the officer can see that he or she is safe. Two, if they ask for insurance or registration, and provide it to the officer. Provide your identification. Give the officer your driver's license. At that point, do you have to say anything else? Okay, I'm going to upset a lot of officers. Absolutely not. I feel you have a right to remain silent. If an officer has stopped you, I feel you're not free to leave, and anything you say can be used against you. And in fact, it is used against you. I feel Miranda should trigger as soon as you're pulled over. But unfortunately, here's what I tell people, because this is, again, unfortunately, this is how it works. So once an officer stops you, they're asking you questions, you're volunteering the information. So, excuse me, ma'am, can I see your identification, registration, proof of insurance? Oh, and by the way, your eyes look glossy. Have you been drinking tonight? Well, yes, officer, I have. And not, there's boom, they got you. One, the officer sees you behind the wheel with the keys in ignition. He or she followed you, stopped you for some probable cause. Now you're making an admission of guilt. Yes, I did drink earlier. Does that mean you can be arrested for drinking and driving? No, because we don't know what your blood alcohol level is at this point. But the question becomes, can that statement where you acknowledged when questioned, have you been drinking, can that be used against you? Yes, 100%, absolutely. Now, you admit that you were drinking, the officer pulls you out of the vehicle, not pulls you out, but requests that you exit the vehicle. Now you're put through a sobriety test. Now the officer feels they have enough probable cause that you may have been drinking and have been drinking. They place you in a squad car. You're on your way to the hospital or sheriff's department for blood chemical test to see what your blood alcohol level is. When you're in a vehicle, it's clear that you're in custody at this time. And on the way to the sheriff's department, the officer says, by the way, Mrs. Smith or Mrs. A, B, or C, whatever your name is, is there anything else you want to tell me? Okay, did you hear what I just said, folks? This individual's in the car, under arrest, in custody, on the way to the sheriff's department, aka the county jail, and the officer says, Is there anything else you want to tell me? Why, yes, officer. I have, you know, all this illegal paraphernalia in a safe in my apartment. Now, as a result of that statement, the officer goes and obtains a warrant to search your apartment and everything in there. And they find the safe and they open the safe because the warrant allows them to do so. And they find all kinds of illegal drugs and other paraphernalia. Now you have all these felony charges placed on you over and above the drinking and driving offense that you were pulled over for in the first place. The question is, and this is my opinion, what will happen to those felony charges? I say, based on Miranda, everything is thrown out. Because remember, Miranda says, once you're in custody and not free to leave, anything you say, unless you're Mirandized, cannot be used against you in a court of law. So at the point in time when the officer placed you in the vehicle, if that officer failed to warn you that you had the right to remain silent, then anything you did say cannot be used against you in a court of law. Did you hear what I said? If at the point you're in the vehicle, not free to leave, and your rights were not read to you, and you were not told, by the way, you do have the right to remain silent, so don't say anything to me, because if you say something, it could incriminate you, and it can be used against you in a court of law. If you are not given that warrant, and you do say something based on questioning, it's the fruit of the poisonous tree. You file a motion to quash. It has to be thrown out. All the charges get thrown out. The original drinking and driving charge, that's going to stick. So that's Miranda. There's a lot more to Miranda. But I didn't get to it. But that's pretty much the gist of it. When you're in custody and you feel you're not free to leave, which I would argue, again, is right away. But this is federal law. Went up to the United States Supreme Court. And so that's that. Hey, what a show. Holy cow. If you missed any portion of the show, I am fired up today. That's right. Last week I was jacked up on espresso. This week I'm jacked up on pure Michigan water. Let me just take a sip. Oh, that is unbelievable. Hey, I want everybody out there to have a healthy, happy morning, evening, afternoon, and be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is contagious. Make sure you spread it, and be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. We'll catch you next week, same place, same time, right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative medicine needs, and Innovative Insulation Systems for those cold and hot days. Make sure your insulation pays.